Week number three in the Wait What series. And if this is your first week, it just comes from the kind of irritating saying our kids, wait, what? When they hear something they don't want to hear or something that's hard to believe. And we're living in a world where both of those things are happening, right? We hear things we don't want to hear. We're like, wait, what? Things that we don't want to be true. Wait, what? It's happening everywhere. And so in this series, there's a lot of, wait, hold on, PC, what? And I just remind everybody in here, please listen, the paradigm of God's word, that the diet that we've lived on in the American church for the last few decades has not been a full seven. We've not eaten our spinach and our veggies and our broccoli like we need to. And so some of what I preach in this series, you're going to be tempted to go, wait, what? Some of you are going to hear stuff today and you're going to go, I don't know if I can go back to that church, because you are so unfamiliar with what the Bible says, not only about the end times, but in general. And when you hear it, your stomach has a hard time digesting the meat of his word. And so I just want to encourage you. You're going to hear some stuff and you're going to be tempted to say, wait, what? And I just remind you, that was Jesus' whole ministry. Even when the Holy Spirit, when the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to carry the Messiah. She said, essentially, wait, what? I can't. And he said, oh, no, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And you're going to conceive. And she, wait, what? And then she said, okay, what? May it be according to your word. And I just remind you, that's the one we've worshiped today. He's surprising. He said things to the religious establishment that took them off guard. He said things that got him killed. Like they brought the woman at caught in the act of adultery. And any religious leader in that day is going to do what the law of Moses says. Stone that woman. And Jesus shocked them. And he said, let he whoever has no sins, you throw the first one at her. Wait, what? And then the Bible says all of them, they begin to drop their rocks that they were holding ready to, and they went away, oldest to the youngest. The youngest couldn't believe it. The older ones were probably some of her former paying customers. And Jesus, after no one was there except him and her, she was probably scantily clad. They caught her in the act. And he said, woman, who condemns you? And she said, no one. No one, master. And then he said the greatest, wait, what? Of all time. Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. How many of you are thankful for a wait, what kind of savior? Amen? So that's where we are. And preaching this series, it's going to be the next 6 or 8 weeks of just revelation. And hear me, everybody. My job is not to preach and grow the crowd. My job is to prepare people for eternity. And that's what I'm doing here. And there's a frog in the kettle, a lulling, a religious spirit in our country. And even in our own city, we are seeing pastors shrink back and preach stuff that is not biblical. God help us. And so I'm going to be preaching, coming in hot each week. In the 70s, I was born in 1965. The 60s were very turbulent in our nation. And so I was a kid in the 70s. And songs like what we just sang, they were more than just fun songs with a good backbeat. That was our theology. And how many of you grew up in the 70s and you ever go home or you can't find your mom in the house and you're like, oh my God, the rapture took place. My dad's here, but my mom's gone. You know, anybody remember that? And growing up, it would just strike fear in you, a holy reverential fear, not a, oh, I better serve God so I don't go to hell. Even a little bit of that ain't terribly bad. That's better than cheap, false grace that'll get you to hell with a smile on your face. I didn't mean, there's a rhyme right there. Might as well have fun now because we're getting ready to get serious. When I came here as a youth pastor in the early 90s, anybody remember Jerome Olds? He was an Atlanta Christian music artist. He used to sing in the nightclubs. My own forever led him to the Lord. He did concerts here, and he would do this thing in all of his concerts all over the country called rapture practice. He'd go rapture practice, and then they're like, boom. And then everybody would jump out of their seats, just rapture practice. Seriously. And but it kept it on your mind, you know. And growing up in the 70s, my mom and dad modeled a balanced Christian faith. And we didn't walk around in a fear of the Lord. We walked around in a holy reverence that the word of God was true. We believed and we preached that Jesus was going to come back. And we believed it. And that kept us on the edge of our seats. How many of you are so thankful you grew up when you did? And you've never been able to get away from that holy, reverent, biblical fear. Anybody out there? So, this morning, I just remind you, when we talk about, you know, let me just continue along that line, just setting the table. I want to be sensitive to the generation growing up in a different world. I know some of us would go, man, they've already got enough issues. They've already got enough stress and anxiety. Don't be messing with this end time stuff. And I just want to encourage you. You're raising Daniels. You're raising Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegoes. You're raising up people who the culture is going to change their name to try and change their identity. It's already happening. Are y'all out there? If you know the story of the book of Daniel. But thank God for Daniel's mom and dad and the three Hebrew children, their mom and dad. Because apparently when they were doing family devotions in the book of Leviticus, and they said, don't eat this kind of stuff, but you can't eat this kind of stuff. That when they got in the heat of the moment, they said, King, thank you, but we can't drink what you drink. We can't eat what you drink. Are y'all out there? May God help us raise. We're raising adults, not children. Y'all out there? We're raising kids that are going to be tough and prepared and have a real firsthand faith. And that's so we get after it in this church. Are y'all out there? So I just remind you, don't let prophecy scare you. Don't say, well, that's just conspiracy, charismatic preachers. No, 30% of the Bible is prophecy. 332 prophecies about Jesus alone. And all of them were fulfilled. The book I referred to last week, 1,000 prophecies in the Bible, at least 500 of them have already been fulfilled. And we're seeing most of them are about the season we're living in now. I'm not just trying to find something to preach here. I'm trying to prepare you for what's coming. The single most significant truth in all the Bible prophecies is the return of Jesus. It's mentioned 329 times in the Bible. 216 chapters in the New Testament, and the return of Jesus is mentioned 318 times in those chapters. One out of 30 verses in the New Testament deals with the return of Jesus. And so as we take a look at the book of Revelation this morning, I just want to remind you of how it starts. Everybody goes, Revelation, and some of you are already nervous. Just see how it starts. I don't have time to give the history of John was being persecuted. Thank God he got persecuted so that God could give him the end time prophecy so that we could have it and know what's to come. Revelation 1, it starts out, verse 1 says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon. And that word soon, you may go, well, that was 2,000 years ago. It hadn't been that soon. That's a bad translation. It means suddenly, that it will quickly, that time will wait, and then suddenly it will happen. What must suddenly take place? He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Please, this needs to be on your hard drive, in your heart and mind. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Why would we be blessed? So that we're informed and we would know what's coming. And when we start seeing it come, we would go, wow, God, you are so trustworthy. So blessed are those who read it. And one translation, All translations say, read it aloud, like not just to yourself, so that others can hear it. You can hear yourself. Some translations say, read it aloud in the church. Why? So the church can be informed of what's to come. And then right after that, he talks about, let me encourage you. He says in the next five verses, grace and peace to you from him, Jesus. He has made us to be a kingdom and priests. We're not just poor old Christians. We are a kingdom of priests, the ecclesia ruling in the earth. Are y'all out there? It says, look, he is coming and every eye will see him. Isn't that awesome to think? This evil world, everyone will see him. And then he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come. And then it says, the Almighty. How many of you are thankful for the Almighty? Come on, how many of you are thankful that he is? I get lost sometimes. I go, you don't understand when he says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the A and Z and every letter in between. Nothing surprises him. He's the Almighty One. I said it last week. He is in control. He has been in control. And he always will be in control. Now, I want to jump this morning. The title of this sermon is, This Might Be That. And we're gonna take a look at the mark of the beast, AI, brain chips, and current technology that's being developed. You know, we're ahead of schedule, so I'm gonna read this. Forgive me, y'all, but we're just keeping it real. Here we go. Jeffrey Hinton, who is often described as the godfather of AI. You may know AI is artificial intelligence. Listen to this. The man touted as the godfather of AI has quit Google, citing concerns over the flood of misinformation, the possibility for AI to upend the job market, and the existential risk posed by the creation of a true digital intelligence. Dr. Jeffrey Hinton, who with his two of his students at the University of Toronto built a neural net in 2012, he quit Google this past week. This is 2 months ago, I think, as first reported by the New York Times. Hinton, 75, said he quit to speak freely about the dangers of AI, and in part regrets his contribution to the field. He was brought on by Google a decade ago to help develop the company's AI technology, and the approach he pioneered led the way for current systems such as ChatGPT. He told the New York Times that until last year, he believed Google had been a proper steward of the technology. But that changed once Microsoft started incorporating a chatbot into its Bing search engine, and the company began becoming concerned about the risk to its search business. Some of the dangers of AI chatbots were quite scary, he told the BBC, warning they could become more intelligent than humans and could be exploited by bad actors. Thank God we don't have any of those in our country. It's able to produce lots of text automatically, so you can get lots of very effective spam bots. It will allow authoritarian leaders to manipulate their electorates, things like that. And I could go on and on and on. And so it remains in the hands of Google. One of its, for the sake of time, everybody picking up what I'm putting down. And so what does the Bible say? And how does it relate? Revelation 13 refers in really the beast. And everybody listen, I first want to read a couple verses. And let me just say, I don't pretend to be a prophecy expert. I don't know everything there is about prophecy. And here's what I do know is, when you start talking prophecy, it stirs up division often, and it provokes religious spirits. So I come humbly. I do know something about the Bible. I've studied it. I have a degree in biblical education. And so I want to make this simple enough for the 7th and 8th grade boy and girl to understand it and to feed the 70-year-old man and woman and everybody in between and on both, even those over than 70. We got a couple on borrowed time like we talked about last week. And so I want to, if you were here last week, you understand what I'm saying. Verse 16 says, the beast and the false prophet. That's what we're talking about. And so the unholy trinity in the last days will be Satan. He will use the false prophet or the spirit of false prophecy, false teachers, and the Antichrist. And that will be a person. And in verse 16, 17, and 18, we talk about how the false prophet is going to be so charming and effective, and he's going to force everyone to line up and worship the Antichrist and to take a mark. And the Antichrist is going to have the answer for everything. And people are going to be enamored, and they're going to be deceived by the maybe billions. Verse 16 says, he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark. Just no one, if you can't buy or sell, but especially if you can't buy, life on planet Earth gets really hard quickly. You say, well, I'll just grow my own stuff. Can you imagine a culture where people who can't buy know you're growing stuff and how hard it's going to be for you to protect what you're growing? It says they won't be able to buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. And this is the greatest understatement in the word right here. Wisdom is needed here. Can y'all agree with that? Oh, there ought to be a better amen than that. Wisdom, knowledge, revelation, not being the blind sheep led to the slaughter. Having discernment that will come from God's word and God's spirit, giving enlightenment and understanding from God's word. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I could do a whole series right now on what we're seeing with COVID, blood, vaccines, copyrights, patents, and the number 666. It's alarming. Now, we're talking here, as I said, the false prophet who will lead and influence the religious world. I believe they will force a one-world religion, and it will set the stage for the Antichrist, who will be in control. And here's what I just simply want to say about the mark of the beast. Do not take it. Now, I know there's debate. Well, the mark of the beast will happen after the rapture, or mid-trib, or post-trib, or maybe pre-trib, or after. I know there's debate about when it will happen. But here's what I was told, and here's what I believe. Don't take it. Don't take it. Ever. Lose the ability to buy and the ability to sell, but don't take the mark. Why? Because Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10, and other verses throughout this book say, once you take the mark, once you've sold your soul to the Antichrist, there is no going back. And the Bible says you will suffer eternity in hell. And speaking about subjects that we haven't talked about in the church in a long time, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And God wants you to go to heaven, and so do I. But you've got to realize there is no middle ground. You don't get to go, well, I wasn't really a radical Christian. I'm just going to kind of go somewhere in between. And this whole idea of country music going, you know, if beer and my boyfriend isn't in hell, then I don't want to go, all that stuff. I'm telling you what, that is evil. And I know it's cutesy and it's country and it's people we like. But these are real places. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hear me, young ones. And there are doctrines and pastors now teaching. Rob Bell kicked this off 20-some years ago, that hell is not exist. It's not a real place. It's not a literal hell. Jesus talked about it more than anybody. But we're going to heaven, amen? Because we believe in the Son of God. We've given ourselves, we've confessed that He is Lord. We believe in our heart, Romans 10:9, that God raised Him from the dead. Can I get a witness? Do you hear what I just said? Paul said, to be saved, you got to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, and then you'll be saved. Those are two big steps. All right, now, coming in hot here. In my opinion, and it's debatable, in my humble opinion, COVID was planned. These people are using the COVID pandemic as an excuse to try and make, or I'm sorry, try and take over the planet economically. That's the game plan, the Great Reset. Reset the world's economy to a cashless society, and people are starting to catch on to that. What they are not catching on to is the fact that they're not just trying to reset everything from an economic standpoint, they're looking to tie everyone together biometrically into this cashless digital system that they can control pretty much everything, like buying and selling. And that's just what we just read from Revelation 13. COVID has been a great foreshadowing of what I think is to come. Whether they admit it or not, and I don't think Klaus Schwab and some of the others are going, let's do Revelation 13. Let's be the ones. I think their selfish, greedy, power-hungry desire for control is in their minds. I'll talk about it in a minute. They're just in their minds. They're in control. They're the elites. They just want to steward the planet. And so, whether they admit it or not, whether they even know it or not, they are building the infrastructure for the mark of the beast that 2,000 years ago, the scripture speaks about. It's remarkable to think that this book 2,000 years ago said there'll be a day where on people's head or hand, there will be a mark, and without it, you won't be able to buy or sell. This is where prophecy, the spirit of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We'll talk about that some next week. That's powerful. I said last week, the Bible asks questions and it answers them for itself so that we would know. And the fact that the Bible could speak about so accurately about what we're going through should cause none of us to ever doubt the word of God, to place our trust in Him. Amen? Are you out there? Now, who is Klaus Schwab? He grew up in Hitler's world, born in 1938. How many of you ever heard of Klaus Schwab? Raise your hand. Okay, not everybody, but a lot of us. All the things that Hitler did and wanted to do if he had won World War II is pretty much the agenda of Klaus Schwab. He was born in Ravensburg, Germany, grew up in Hitler's Germany. His dad, and there is fake news about this, and there is debate, and you can see fact checkers deny some of this, but his dad, Eugene, was a friend of the Nazis, ran a factory, allegedly, where he helped the Germans make armament, military weapons, and his dad used, allegedly, slave labor, POWs, and so when we hear Klaus and this New World Order say, just relax, in the future you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And that's their idea of modern slavery. In 1971, he founded the World Economic Forum, which was originally called the European Management Forum. He was able to recruit a large number of powerful people to be part of the original group, and it grew. In the 1980s, he changed it from the European Management Forum to the World Economic Forum, and that began to reveal what their real goal was. It was more than economic help for Europe. It was a plan for the world. I believe his plan for the world is to basically bring what Hitler wanted to. And you think killing of the Jews, Auschwitz, Holocaust, that Hitler, it was so much more than that. It was about an elite human race. And years ago, when we began to allow in our country abortions to happen. It was that same spirit of babies that aren't wanted will keep us from having the kind of world we all want to live in. Are you listening to me? Now, interestingly, his fourth industrial revolution, or the you'll hear it called the 4IR, or Industry 4.0. Those who've studied it, and if you go on Amazon and look for the Fourth Reich, there's dozens of books dealing with it. Many of them have that in their title. It should be called the Fourth Reich. His vision for the planet, they're the elites. They have the power. They own most everything, and what they don't own, they have 99% of the world's resources. They can buy it. I should say over 50% of the resources. And as I said earlier, they feel it is their job to steward the planet. And that it can be seen on video. You can find this stuff on YouTube. You can Google and hear him say these things. So this is not conspiracy stuff. Now, they want to bring... Is somebody talking back to me? I know that. Is Siri disagreeing with what I'm saying? It wouldn't surprise me. I'm serious. Today, I told Tracy, I normally send the sermon notes in on Google Docs. And I said, I'm sending them, grab them, and then take, because I want to take it off of Google Docs. I don't want, you understand? And, this is the world we're living in. I'm at Chipotle on Friday afternoon, getting my car, and I forget the little row something, the workout space right beside it. And I don't say anything. I don't have anybody with me. I just look at it and I go, huh. I just think that. What pops up on Facebook Friday night when I get home? Membership opportunities for that. It's just crazy. Now, and I know how it all works. And it's geo-tracking. But we've gotten used to all that. We think that's all cool and it's harmless. Where it's going, I don't think it is going to be entirely harmless. Now, they want to bring in this cashless system, cashless economic system. They want to tie everyone together through microchip technology, having the possibility to control everything, including buying and selling. And Klaus is big on the brain chip. It's not a conspiracy. He says it, talks about it. Now, as we get used to being tracked, like what I just talked about, and from years ago, the Harmless Patriot Act, our smartphones, he believes that now after COVID, they've seen all they need to see, that we're going to be ready for the chip. And in the video, you'll see him point to his brain into his head. And you may think, oh, Pastor Chuck, come on, you're reading stuff. You're obviously a baby boomer. That's just a fluke. It's modern technology and it's conversation about shaping a better future. And the very next year after that, in 2017, at the World Economic Forum, he's interviewing one of the two founders of Google, Sergey Brin, and you can see the picture here. You can easily access the video. One of the founders of Google, who, by the way, Google is developing, as I understand it, the AI that will likely run the back end of this matrix that they're building for brain chips. What's it going to be like? They're going to tie everyone into this cashless digital system, merge it all together, have the ability to control people's buying and selling on a global issue. And if you buy things or want to buy things or give to a church that they don't approve of, you know. And the management of this whole thing, you can't hire enough people to run the back end of that. And that's what AI will do. It's literally superhuman. Now, Schwab and Sergey Brin, in an interview at the World Economic Forum, listen to this, please. He says that not only will we be able to control what people buy and sell, but we will be able to know how you feel when you're in the room listening to what we're saying. They will have the ability to control or know our thoughts real time. And here's all I'm saying. If they can measure your thoughts and feelings, they can control them. If they don't like your thoughts or feelings, and if they see them to be a threat, they will control them. How many of you would agree? No hype, no conspiracy stuff, but that's dangerous, potentially. Now, you say, wait, what? Pastor Chuck, come on, tinfoil hat conspiracy. And I just back away from some of that intro, and this is not hard to find. I back away from that, and I just remind you, as a pastor that loves you should, Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And he described it before the flood. People were buying and selling. We know that because they were eating and drinking. They were planning weddings, getting married up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Did you hear what I just read? This is right from the Word. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And Jesus said, when I return again, it'll be just like that. And that is how it will be, he says, at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, everybody listen, I want to just, well, in this series, we're probably going to do a series, Thinking Like Noah. I want you to understand about the ark, and I read from Hebrews 11:7. Noah built when he was warned about what was coming, he built an ark to save his family. And you need to do the same. And the ark is a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. It's a picture of the church also. Look, just some basic stuff about the ark. Number one, there was one way into the ark, one door, that's it. What's that one door represent? Jesus. There's one, hear me, with great compassion, I tell you, Jesus was more than a great teacher. He is the only way to the Father. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. And this syncretistic, a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that one, and yet Jesus, he's probably better than most, maybe all of them, but we mix all this stuff, brothers and sisters. That's the spirit of false prophecy. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus. How do we know it? Because he said it. How can we trust what he said? Because he's the only one to come back from the dead and be resurrected. He is the risen Lord, the risen Savior, and our soon coming King. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Amen. Secondly, about the flood. God told a man to do something because something was getting ready to happen that had never happened before. It's hard to believe something like that's going to happen if it's never happened before. And when I stand up here, I know how unpopular this is. I'd love to do parables and sweet talk you and sell books and encourage everybody and go home and sleep better on Saturday nights. But hear me, the rapture's never happened, and there are people who think it's crazy, just like the flood. But how many of you know the rapture, Jesus is returning. Get ready. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing I would say is, I mentioned this briefly last week, but don't forget, you are Noah. I'm Noah. We believe something that our world says is crazy. He was a conspiracy nutcase until it started to rain. So how many of you say, Lord, give me the faith of Noah? The Bible says in Genesis 6, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. May we find grace and favor so that when he tells us something to do to save our family, we'll do it. Are y'all out there? Come on, somebody. Now, Why are they telling us, the world economic, the elites, what they want to do? Because evil likes to brag. Satan always goes too far. And here's the biggie. They are trying to, and in most cases, they are successful in trying to create massive fear. Because they know that always has and always will control the people. That's why people of real faith are a threat to a world or world leaders who are trying to control people through fear. How many are grateful though? Listen, I'm getting fired up here. How many of you are grateful that we don't walk by sight? We don't walk by circumstances, what we see or what we hear. We walk by faith. And they are telling us because they're leaking it out. They know they can create massive fear. They'll be able to control. Now, most people would ask then, who in their right mind would allow someone to put a brain chip in their head? Listen closely. Because they're going to sell it so effectively. I've already had this conversation with some of my sharp children. It will be pitched as something that is noble, kind, helpful, just, innovative, etc. It'll be like, come on, do your duty. Let's save the people out of concern for others. It'll be sold as a panacea. It's going to fix everything. You'll no longer need to even sit down and send an email. You can send it from your thoughts, your brain chip. I don't know if you know about all this stuff, but it's unbelievable what's being presented. Think of the younger generations who are all in with technology. Their natural reaction is, this is great. They'll think it's an upgrade, human 2.0. Everyone needs to do it too. They won't let anyone choose to opt out. It will be just like what we've seen in COVID. The pressure will be unlike anything we've ever faced. Come on, Pastor Chuck, what about paraplegics? If they get a brain chip, they can get the use of their limbs back. That would be fantastic if we could trust just that. Wouldn't it be great if you go, but we can't trust just that, then you'll be marginalized as an intolerant person who won't be sensitive to people like paraplegics. Wouldn't it be great if you wanted to fly a plane and all you needed to do was download an app into your brain chip and you could do it? Wouldn't it be awesome if you could just download the app and do surgery? No, it wouldn't be awesome. It's a medical saving device. And they admit this technology can not only monitor your thoughts, but it can erase your thoughts. It can help people with PTSD, emotional hurts related to traumatic memories of painful events. Think about it. They're building it and pitching it right now to soldiers with PTSD who can't get over the memories. A brain chip would fix all of it. Depressed? No problem. Cured with a brain chip. They can not only delete stuff from your brain, but they'll be able to download stuff. I know I'm on thin ice, but I'm okay with it. Do you remember The Matrix? And Neo, when they're downloading, and he wakes up and he goes, I know Kung Fu. And he did. How many of you ever saw The Matrix? Because that's the foreshadowing of, they're telling us something in that movie. And then I forget the guy's name. The one guy comes in as Neo is getting that, and he getting it into his head. And that download's happening. And the programmer is asked by, I forget the other guy's name, and he comes in and goes, how is he? And he says, he's been there for 10 hours straight. He's a machine. And it's a play on words. He's a machine. If I lose control of what goes on between my ears, I have become a machine, a soulless machine. And if you think that technology is impossible, you haven't been paying attention. Now, they even sell, there could be a fun side to this. Just imagine. And They're selling it. They would not only be able to erase or delete bad stuff, but they could now access or control your dreams. Who wouldn't buy that, right? And they're pitching it as a paid service. If you could choose whatever dreams you had, they haven't named it yet, but like Dream Flicks, Brain Chip, biometric electronic cashless society is the infrastructure, I believe, for the mark of the beast system. If it is not, it is preparing us all for what will be the mark of the beast. And you say, come on, Pastor Chuck, in America? Never. And I would just tell you, in America, the America where parents who are wanting to protect their children from ideologies at preschool ages, and we're being called terrorists. In America, pastors that in some states who said, wait, you're keeping the strip clubs open and the alcohol sales businesses open and the church can't be, and they kept them open and those pastors went to jail. That America. The America that, if you're paying attention, I speak prophetically right now, that there's some talk about the governor of California somehow working into becoming a possibility for the next president. Have you lost your mind? Yes, we have lost our mind. And I can feel the stirring happening in here, and I'm glad for it, because there needs to be a desperate awakening to go, you know what? We are the church. We are the people of God. He is omnipotent. He's always been in control, is in control, and always will be in control. And listen, I know all the traps. Pastor Chuck, why you got to be political? Because I'm trying to help people be prepared for eternity. And they're manipulating and playing the shell game, and there are certain subjects that they're wanting. Don't talk about them, because people will see that as political. And if you do, then you need the wisdom that Revelation 1 talks about, that Revelation 13 talks about. You need the discernment to go, if Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said, you know what, let's don't get political, then they would have drunk what the king was trying to get them to drink. They would have eaten that stuff. And the lions would have eaten them, possibly. We need some people. I feel this in my spirit. This is a call, not only to this church, but anybody who will hear this. This is a call to say, Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to save us from the fire. But if he doesn't, he can. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Praise your name, Jesus. And why do you connect all of this stuff? Because people don't know this stuff. Our current president is one of Klaus's biggest disciples. His Build Back Better is a core fundamental slogan from Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. The fires that are happening, some getting reported and many not getting reported. I have a close friend of mine, pastors. He was at a conference with a pastor in Ohio, and I don't want to divulge any names, but he said, all of our rural farms are being bought. The people that attend our church, this is the pastor. And he said, wow, who's buying them? He said, we don't know. Brothers and sisters, this is a real deal. And so let the church cling to the old rugged cross. Let us lift our hands high in worship. Let us not have a weak faith. This is our hour. As it said in Revelation 1, every eye is going to see him return. We're on the winning side. I just want us to wake up and realize what's happening. Come on, if you're going to clap your hands, come on, clap them unto the one who is worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Now, coming in for a landing. Look with me at Revelation chapter 21. There's a verse 8 is where we're going to go, but I want you to read all of these with me. Please listen and read and listen with your spirit. You can see it here on the screen, Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is next to the last chapter in the Bible. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is basically, welcome home, people of God. And look at what verse 8 says. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, which is so interesting, the Greek word pharmakia, idol worshipers and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Everybody listen right here. I want to draw your attention mainly to the first one. Who are the cowardly? The Greek word is dialos. It is found here in Revelation 21 and 8 and also in Matthew 8 when the disciples went in the storm and they said to the Lord, save us, Lord, we're perishing. Jesus rebukes them and says, why are you so dialos? Why are you so cowardly or fearful? 2 Timothy, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of being a coward. John 14, 27, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be dialos, fearful, cowardly. Now listen, the basic meaning of the adjective is cowardly, fearful, timid, faint-hearted. It's not referring to basic fears of spiders, heights, or speaking in public. But it is used in the context of facing persecution, where one has to choose between taking a stand for Jesus and denying faith in him. Bible scholar Cecilia Speak says this, Revelation 28 places the faint-hearted and the unbelieving in the lake of fire. It has in view Christians during times of persecution who, out of fear of suffering, renounce their faith. It is a common place that human courage and cowardice are revealed in the face of death. I want to read that last part again, because this is an opportunity for us. It says, it is commonplace that human courage and cowardice are revealed in the face of death. God's people have always been commanded to live boldly and to not be afraid of our enemies. Are you out there? As Moses exhorted the Israelites in reference to their physical enemies, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of the Egyptians, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And God kept his promises. Psalm 78 says, he led them in safety, and he will for us too, so that they were not afraid, but the sea did overwhelm their enemies. David exhibits this same spirit of boldness. Are you hearing me this morning? David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What are we to do, people of God? We are to be people of faith. We are to pray for our children like their lives depend on it, because they do. We are to gather regularly, and we are to worship in spirit and in truth, that the manifest Shekinah glory of God would be poured out one more time in this nation. That's what we're said to do. Be aware. What America is facing right now is what the rest of the world has always lived in. Corruption, control, rich and poor with no middle class, and a powerful church that is made powerful because it has been persecuted and it has separated the lukewarm from the ones who are hot for the Holy Spirit. Listen, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, deliver us from a spirit of being a coward. He says the coward and the unbeliever will both be separated. Don't be like Simon Peter, who said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And then the Bible says he was following at a distance. And someone said, hey, you're one of his disciples. And in that moment, coward, he shrunk back. He said, no, I'm not. Twice more. Jesus even told him it was going to happen. If you're here today and you don't have a real faith, and I don't even want to get into legalism or trying to place any judgment on you. Your heart right now tells you. Like, I preach a message like this, it separates the wheat and the chaff. Some people are sitting here going, bring it on, give me all of that you can bring every Sunday, Pastor Chuck. Am I right? Come on, how many of you are one of those? Preach the Bible. Hallelujah. Others may be going, why you gotta be so intense? If you're one of those that COVID and the threats and the desire to control shook you, you didn't know what to do, God wants you to have more of Him in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, so that He can walk with you, talk with you, and remind you, the old song said, and tell you, you belong to Him. Are y'all out there? Come on, stand to your feet with me. We praise you, Lord. I prophesy, brothers and sisters, this is the church's finest hour. God sent Jesus to die on the cross to purchase our salvation. We are the body of Christ in these last days. And for such a time as this, don't hit a foul ball. Don't shrink back. Want the ball. Swing for the fence. Know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We were made for this, brothers and sisters. Many of us, we may be the generation that will see the return of the Lord. We might be the generation, hear me, we might be the church that sees thousands of people come to know Christ. And I know when I preach stuff like this, I'd be foolish and really hard-hearted to not give an opportunity. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Chuck, I really don't know. I beg you, no. Please know. And if you don't know, there's grace and love and mercy in this room right now. If you're here today and we're not playing games and you go, I don't know, but I want to. I don't want to be in one of those listed in verse 8. I could say, and he mentions sorcery, pharmakia, drugs. And our whole nation is under that spirit. Manipulation, lying, deceit. Why are you tying those two together? Because I think pharmakia will make cowards feel like they're not cowards. They won't be able to think clearly. The sorcerers, which are in pulpits, will preach a gospel that'll cause us to think we're somebody we're not. But may the testimony of Jesus release the spirit of prophecy. That's what the Bible teaches. And that we will know, oh, I'm a child of God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Chuck, I'm not sure, but I want to be. I want to surrender my life. I want to confess with my mouth right now, here and now, Jesus is Lord. I want to believe in my heart that God's raising from the dead. If that's you, raise your hand all the way up. Raise them up. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over the place. Come on, just if that's you, just hold them up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know how many hands, but a lot. Everybody in this room, pray this prayer with me. Are y'all ready? Are you ready to pray? Everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I surrender my life to you. I ask for forgiveness. Cleanse me. Transform me. Use me for your glory. Take my life. It's yours. I want to know you with a firsthand faith. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, if you said that with your mouth and you believe in your heart, Paul said, according to Romans 10:9, then you are saved. Now let's get you involved in discipleship. Let's get you growing. Does anybody sense just the Holy Spirit just dripping in here? Listen, we're going to see this fall. I don't know how many it was. It had to be 20 or 25 in this room in the balcony on the main level, maybe even more. Let's agree we're going to see hundreds come to Christ between now and Thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you. If you are here and you do need prayer, I want to ask elders and staff at the end when we dismiss, don't try and walk this road alone, and don't become an American nominal believer. The lukewarm, Jesus said, he'll spew you out of his mouth. He'd rather you be cold and unspiritual and evil than be lukewarm. He wants you to be hot. How many of you want a hot church? You're coming in hot, amen? Yes, Lord. So we're here for you. You need us. You can't do effective spirituality alone or isolated. We're here for you. Tuesday night prayer. We should be praying like our children and grandchildren's lives depend on it, because they do. We should be worshiping in spirit and truth until we see the manifest Shekinah glory of God in our community. Lord, we praise you. I just thank you. There's victory in the house. There's victory in the house. We come against condemnation and fear and doubt and anxiety and stress and depression. Oh, I sense his spirit telling you don't need a new brain chip. You just need the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel said, I will put my law in your mind. I'll put my law, my word in your heart. Thank you, Lord. And we'll be like the one who built his house on the rock. When the storm comes, it can come, the rain can come, the wind, the floods can rise, but our houses are built on the rock. We declare, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you, Lord. Why am I speaking this stuff? We speak this stuff in the atmosphere. If you understand the word, the reason our country's in this shape is because we haven't spoken the prophetic, creative word of God that creates and recreates and releases and breaks the yoke of the bondage of sin. And so I just speak over you. You begin hoping and praying. As for you and your house, your children, your grandchildren, your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, they are going to know the Lord. Not just know about him, they're going to know him with a firsthand faith. In Jesus' name I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift his countenance on you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Say, I receive it. Now get out of here. We need your parking spot. Get out of here quickly. No fellowshipping. Don't act like you love each other this morning. Get out of here.